Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media and on Instagram at Mike Mercado Media. You can follow the good brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Mancha is on all social media platforms at Typing When Tipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. Our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More. And of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. And of course, you can support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win contest prizes, by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it, wherever you get your favorite podcast, to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the good brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. We wish you a happy, healthy holiday season and an awesome new year.
And here we go.
Get ready, get set for the best movie and pop culture talk in the universe. It's the Good Brothers on Mercado Airwaves with your hosts, Alex Mercado and Mike Mercado.
Welcome back to another episode of the Good Brothers. That lovely voice you're hearing is me, Alex. I am back, back again. Alex is back. Tell a friend. We're the best podcast in the universe, Mike.
Yes.
In the Chicagoland area.
Is that true?
Probably just Chicagoland area, honestly, at this point. But I am back. If you want to know why I was gone, you got to listen to Murder, Mysteries, and More. Cheap plug right there. Other than that, we're moving along. Train's moving. It's a new year. It's a new day. Shout out to the New Day and
Great
Big
podcast,
E.
Podcast, yes.
Right? Yep. And we're here to talk about everything around the universe in this crazy world. We live in a world where Bad Boys is getting better reviews than Rise of Skywalker. I don't know where we are anymore, Mike. Say hi to the folks, please.
Hi, folks, please. But yes, good brother, the multiverse has gone through a lot of crazy changes since the last time you were on your old flagship. And we have a bunch to get into when it comes to the multiverse. We're talking about Crisis on Infinite Earths finishing up on the CW. Cheer is absolutely crushing it on Netflix. Morbius has an awesome trailer. The NFL is absolutely dominating. The box office, like the good brother talked about, is gonna have some heavy hitters, the Oscar nominations and subs. So good brother, let's all go to the movies. Good brother, opening up at number one in the box office was 1917. And we're going to start off the show talking Oscar nominations after news and notes. But last week, it was 17th in the box office. Good brother, it moves to number one, making $37 million. And I have actually had two coworkers at the radio station check it out before we got a chance to. They are actually part of the SAG after group, so they get a lot of For Your Considerations. And they love 1917.
I do believe it will win the best picture.
We'll get into all that in just a little bit. At number two, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker.
What should win the Oscar.
Yeah, of course. And it actually crossed $1 billion before we recorded this
episode.
Well
deserved.
Of Brothers.
You know my opinion. Yeah. Top four Star Wars movies for me.
At three, Jumanji, The Next Level. At four, Like a Boss. At five, Just Mercy, going to from 30th to 5 after it went wide release. That's the one with Jamie Foxx and
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan. So, didn't get any Oscar.
You know, it didn't, though. And I hear maybe Jamie Foxx should have at least. But what's funny is that when movies don't get Oscar pushes, sometimes they do make more money because people are curious.
People are curious to check them out.
I hear it's a good movie. And I hear Jamie Foxx does an Oscar worthy performance. Other than that, I'm not hearing much buzz about it. Obviously, the movies that were nominated are the ones we're getting the most buzz out of. And we'll obviously talk about Oscars and what to watch later on.
At number six, Little Women. At seven, Underwater. Another Kristen Stewart movie that bombs at the box office. We had Charlie's Angels, and now we have this one. Really weird, though, like a January movie. Like
I hear it's pretty good, though. Like I hear it actually is very... The performances are great, I hear, and I hear it's a fine movie. It's just, you know, sometimes you put movies out, and it's just the wrong time.
At number eight is Frozen 2. At number nine, Knives Out. And at number 10, Spies in Disguise. So I also want to just say, just to kind of finish off this, because we see three movies that will be getting some Oscar love. We have not The Grudge at number 11, but Uncut Gems didn't get any Oscar nominations.
Here's the thing with Uncut Gems. It's almost too gritty, and I feel like the nominations are always – the only time you get true gritty is when you're dealing with, realistically, old school slavery, different types of sex, like a Dallas Buyers Club where you're dealing with AIDS and the homosexual aspects of it. And I feel like this movie is kind of just gritty and dark, and it's a great movie. It's a great performance. I still think Adam Sandler got snubbed. I'll say that right now. He did get snubbed. It's one of those movies, though, where it might be too dark and too gritty and too straightforward for people to truly enjoy. And I think every Oscar movie, dark or not, needs to have some sort of aspect that you can cling on to. Like, yeah, I think we've kind of got accustomed to World War II movies and, again, slavery and certain aspects where this movie falls into a uncanny valley of – I don't know how to describe it beside dark.
And at number 13 was Bombshell. That did get a lot of Oscar love. Yeah. 14, Parasite. And at 16, Ford v. Ferrari. That got a lot of Oscar love.
Obviously, the movies we're talking about. We'll get into a lot of Oscar love.
But what you could spend your money on this very weekend, Dr. Doolittle.
Don't suggest
checking out Robert Downey Jr. on the latest episode of the Joe Rogan Experience podcast. He was actually phenomenal. He talks about Avengers Endgame. He talks about whether he'll come back to it. Just talks about his life in general.
Yeah.
It's very, very fun stuff.
I mean, it sucks that like every time that he seems to get out of the MCU, he goes and does The Judge and then Doolittle, and you're like, oof.
And Bad Boys for Life. They are back together, Martin Lawrence and Will Smith.
The early reviews are good, if not great. People are coming out saying, guys, this is a pretty good movie. This is a movie everyone expected to bomb. It's this many years too late. Martin Lawrence isn't that popular. Will Smith, beside the genie, he's not making any money. Gemini Man sucked. Does anyone really want a non-Michael Bay Bad Boys? And guess what? Martin Lawrence is getting praised for being great emotionally. Will Smith kicking ass. And the movie is solid and good. And it's going to make money, people. Like, all this, a movie like this needs good reviews to make money. And the fact that, like, now it has the audience that was already going to see it. And now you have the audience of, like, I kind of want to check this out if they said it's good. Because we like Bad Boys, but we're the lowest common denominator. Of course we like Bad Boys.
Very much the lower.
We love that stuff. But the fact that they're getting people like your Snyders and Campy's Harlow to be like, no, it's a good movie.
So Doolittle sits at a amazing 13th on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's deserving.
Bad Boys for Life. 78%.
That's really good for a bad
movie. That is
people. Wow. We're talking that you might as well give it a 99 at this point. Like that's how that is obnoxious how high that movie's scoring right now. And I love it. Like I'm so excited for these guys.
Very super stoked, and I'm very happy for Will Smith and Martin Lawrence and for that franchise. Like, I hope it makes money this.
Yeah, and like you know what sucks though is I'm kind of pissed that they call this For Life. Because now I want a sequel, and that should have been Bad Boys for Life.
I remember I told you, this is the conversation I had with Planet of the Apes, too. I'm like, this is one of those series that completely messed up.
You
could have
just called it Bad Boys Again or something, and saved Bad Boys for Life. So now you got to think of a better title, because obviously now I need another Bad Boys.
But that is what you could spend your money on this weekend at the lovely cinema.
Go watch 1917.
And speaking of 1917, good brother, it is one of my favorite days of the year. Oscar nomination Mondays is become a holiday for me. I equate it to Selection Sunday for March Madness.
Yeah.
You sit around, especially for me who works early morning.
Yeah, you got your cup of coffee and you're waiting for who's going to say something obnoxious.
Who got snubbed, who's the higher seed, who's a favorite, and it is some of the most entertaining and great conversation and building type of moment that we get every single year. Sometimes the rhetoric can get crazy depending on the year, but to me, it always opens up the door for conversation. That's very important, is even if I don't always agree, and we'll get the monkey out.
Let's get to it now. Elephant in the room. About the Oscars, I told you Oscars, give me one statement from you. We each do one statement, just overall, we'll be broad, and then we'll get into it. You go ahead. Give me one statement about this year's Oscars.
The most depth, filled roster of talents we have ever seen in the Academy's history, which is why we are so divisive this season.
I would say the exact same thing. I think it is one of the most controversial picks we've ever had in probably 20 years. I'd say in the 20 years since, let's say this since the 2000s, is probably the most controversial in a sense where people were snubbed, yes.
Yes.
But I don't think it was because certain people didn't deserve. It's not a crash situation. It's a situation where if we're allowing 10 movies, maybe it's time we up the actors and directors for two more slots.
Maybe.
Like a nice number 7. And some people think it cheapens it.
Maybe.
I truly think at this point the recognition is enough. And I think, you know, obviously it's kind of like making the playoffs. You're like, in certain things, you're just honored to make the playoffs and win your division. And yeah, there can only be one champion. We get that. I understand that it's probably going to be 1917. It's probably going to be, you know, this actor or this, and it's probably going to be Joaquin Phoenix people. But you still want these guys to get recognition, especially, I think, more than ever, directing.
Directing, where women.
But it's also like, people are like, well, I'll take Quentin Tarantino. I loved Once Upon a Time. I thought it was a classic. I know people don't think it's one of his best. I think it's one of his best. So how are you going to argue with someone like me that says, no, I don't want to take him out? Okay, who else? Shawn Mendes made one of the best movies probably in the last...
Sam Mendes,
made one of the best war movies since Saving Private Ryan. Are you going to take him out? I get it's hard. So my solution is you probably do need to add a couple more slots for at least nominations.
And I think more than anything is if we're talking about making things equal, making things right, making things a fair game, right, that we will get to a point where it's not about quotas or anything. It's just about talent. If we want to get to that point, right, I think what you need to do then is to allow, like you're saying, maybe give more slots for this reason. Awkwafina doesn't get a nomination for The Farewell.
I thought The Farewell was a little overrated. My regardless. I'm in the minority.
Now, would you agree with most sentiment is she was in consideration for an Oscar nomination this season?
You thought she would have been a heavy favorite.
So with that being said, what's important is not necessarily that she wins it, but somebody who was a relative unknown getting the clout of Oscar-nominated actress.
I agree.
Puts her to another level, gives her a little bit more power.
She deserves to stand, like, have her picture on stage and showing her clip. She deserves that. Now, I think people use the word snub a little loosely sometimes. Where
sure,
it's
that's
like,
social media.
Like, okay, like, I like J-Lo more than the next person. I don't think she deserves it. I've seen Hustlers.
I think her getting snubbed is actually better for her than necessarily, like, obviously the ultimate is getting nominated. Yeah. But just, you know, a consolation prize of being quote unquote snubbed is actually a great
I think she will get nominated in the next 5 years because I agree with you. This will open her up. Someone's going to offer her the role of a lifetime, something to do with her lifestyle, something like closer to like something like a Hustlers, maybe more, little more drama filled. And I truly believe she will get a nomination in the next 5 years because I think, like you said, the snub, now she's in the conversation of like, you know what? Let me put her in this Brooklyn-style Jenny from the Block character-ass thing. Let me see how she plays this out, and that's going to be her nomination.
And if you still can't quite understand what the Good Brother and I are kind of saying, Jordan Peele, getting that Oscar nomination for Get Out completely made him a top-tier player in the industry.
He's also a winner, too.
And look what it does for him, though. Look what it did for multiple people's careers. Look at the branch. Look at the quote-unquote tree, the coaching tree that has created from Jordan Peele. Mm-hmm. And that's the idea. It's just not the winning it. The nomination, getting to that level, makes you somebody that they could put things on you. You're a brand now, and that's very important. But speaking of brands, speaking of getting that noms, let's get into the actual nominations for the main ones that we're going to speak of. From this one, we're obviously going to have the big
Oscar special. The week of,
and we will have our picks. It is 1-1 in the series of Good Brother versus Good Brother.
I feel
Oscar
like it's
seasons.
Like 4-1, but we didn't keep official record. It's like the NFL before it was the NFL. We're like, I have a couple extra rings,
that's
but they
cool.
don't count. Apparently,
cool. We only have Super Bowls though, and I got one.
Won the most recent, but
and
it's fine.
Let's talk about the equivalent of a Super Bowl in the Hollywood realm for Best Picture. We have Ford v. Ferrari.
Good.
The Irishman.
Really good.
Jojo Rabbit.
Good.
Joker.
Good.
Little Women.
Really good.
Marriage Story.
Really good.
1917.
Really, really good.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Really, really good.
Parasite.
I mean, they're all really good.
Yeah, Alex.
I don't want people judging my goods. I was just saying they're all deserving. Like, when I said really good, it was just to change up the tone. They're all fantastic movies. Every single one of them. I think my pick right now is 1917.
Yeah, it's sitting between 1917 and Joker.
It's the one you can, because you always say they're all good. Okay, so where am I? Let me get some negatives. It's like the Bean game where you're like, okay, all the positives add up together.
The only one I can't find a negative with, and this is honestly, is Parasite. Because Parasite has everything that we always look for in an Oscar winner. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking at 1917, obviously has the drama of it being a war movie. And then Joker has the kind of the...
It caught the world by... It caught by storm.
But Parasite is the quiet movie that...
It's between Parasite and 1917. That's your Moonlight and La La Land. That's your Dallas Buyer Club and 12 Years a Slave. You're like, it can easily go either way. And week of, I might change my vote. I think it's 1917 because we do love our war movies.
Now, let me get into the one, and you can watch my live reactions of the Oscar nominations as they were coming in on YouTube, on all the platforms.
Do it.
Antonio Banderas for Pain and Glory, lead actor, Oscar nominated.
I love it because it's a movie not a lot of people saw, but all you hear about is Antonio Banderas really brought it. And Antonio Banderas is a great actor. You know, you're not going to find bigger fans of Antonio Banderas than the two guys in this room. Puss in Boots, Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Come on.
Think about what that means, though. Yeah. Think about what that means when you say Antonio Banderas now. He's an Oscar-nominated actor.
It's long overdue.
It's, again, that stamp. It's that last thing that you kind of need to really just put it all together. The win is obviously amazing. The nomination, I think, is just
that's one of those, yes. That is definitely one of those where, like, it's just an honor. Like, you know he's probably going to be fourth or fifth, but that's okay.
So we have Leonardo DiCaprio for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Adam Driver for Marriage Story, Joaquin Phoenix for Joker, Jonathan Pryce for The Two Popes. That one, The Two Popes, absolutely took me by surprise. I had no idea that it was going to get so much love.
I've been hearing a lot of hype about it. I thought the movie would have got a little more love, but I'm glad the actors did. I think in that list, I think that's the easiest one for me to pick. Like, every year, you're like, Regina King 1 year. You're like, that's almost a sure. Joaquin Phoenix is winning Best Male. Like, I don't think there's an argument. It's not a, what was the last year? Christian Bale and, I'm brain farting now that you made me think of it.
Oh my God. It is
Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman. So between Christian Bale and Gary Oldman.
I think it's not one of those years. I think it's pretty 90. I would put my only guaranteed vote right now, as of now, is Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. Then for lead actress, Cynthia Erivo for Harriet, Scarlett Johansson, one of two. This one for Marriage Story.
That movie's deep.
Yeah. Yeah. Saoirse Ronan for Little Women. She was also in Lady Bird.
Yep.
So shout out to her. Charlize Theron for Bombshell. Renee Zellweger for Judy. Probably the favorite this one.
Yeah. Not as much as Joaquin, but like I'm almost ready to put that down. Yeah. That is Renee Zellweger. When you find an actress that's the only thing nominated, like not the movie, not director, nothing else, just that one actress, that's how good she was. So like that's kind of like when Willem Dafoe got it for the Florida Project.
How about this group, Hall of Fame group? Maybe we'll look back at
the all-white male.
Yeah, all-white males. We'll look back at this 10 years from now. Supporting actor, Tom Hanks, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Deserved.
Anthony Hopkins, The Two Popes. Al Pacino, The Irishman. Joe Pesci, The Irishman. Brad Pitt, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And Good Brother, this is when Brad Pitt gets his.
Yeah, that's my pick right now. That's my loose horse. I think that's where you get a nice surprise is Brad Pitt. I think, but I could also see
Tom Hanks.
I can see it being Tom Hanks.
Yep.
I think after what that speech he gave with his family today, I'm like, dude, I know it's politics, people. He just made his big Oscar push by giving that beautiful speech with his family that we all cried at because we're like, this guy's the real Mr. Rogers. I can't believe it. Yeah, those are my two. Brad Pitt deserves it. I think Brad Pitt. What he did in that, he carries that movie almost. And I love Leo and I love all the actors and actors in that movie. And I think it's a great movie. It's one of my favorites of the year. But Brad Pitt really just brought everything in him. Everything that you've ever thought about Pitt, he shows it off. And it's so impressive, honestly.
Another stat group, supporting actress, Kathy Bates and Richard Jewell, Laura Dern and Marriage Story.
Love Laura Dern.
Scarlett Johansson, her second. In Jojo Rabbit.
Which means she won't get anything.
Florence Pugh from Little Women. And Margot Robbie for Bombshell.
That's a tough one. I don't have a pick yet for that one, honestly.
I think Kathy Bates seems to be the darling right now because it's Kathy Bates, but yeah. I kind of feels like a Kathy Bates.
You know what sucks? I think Scarhole should not have been nominated for Marriage Story. I think that spot, because Adam Driver carries that movie quite a bit. I think had she only been nominated for Jojo Rabbit, she would have been my favorite to win. But that she's in both kind of cancels her out. And that sucks because I don't think she should have been nominated for Marriage Story. As good as she is in it, I think you could have found a lot of people to play that role.
I think a lot of people feel that way about it.
Compared to Adam Driver, where you're like, man, if it wasn't for A, B, and C, Adam Driver, you would have won an Oscar again, dude. You would have. It's like every year you're almost in the convo, but you just happen to be going against the Titans.
Yeah, Adam Driver has
like
a
that
tough
sucks,
one.
Dude. I feel bad that like Joaquin Phoenix tried to do a Joker movie. Yeah. If it was just You Were Never Really Here movie, we'd be able to skip over. It's Joker. It's DC. It's superheroes mixed with the performance of a century.
And the final one that we'll go over with on at least this episode, director. Yeah. Martin Scorsese for The Irishman, Todd Phillips for Joker, Sam Mendes for 1917, Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Bong Joon-ho for Parasite.
Bong Joon-ho is winning.
I think so too.
I think it's Bong Joon-ho. Yeah. But if I'm not ready to put money on it, because I also think Sam Mendes really did a great job. And I think all of them. There's not a person there. If you don't think Martin Scorsese didn't deserve that nom, you're crazy. Do I think, yes, there were a
Greta
lot of
Gerwig,
women and a lot of great other directors should have been in there? Yes. Is this this alone director proves you need 7 slots, I think. It proves it. Because I think the recognition alone, if you're going to get this many movies, you should get that many directors. Actors, you want to leave it at 5? Okay. I think we can all deal with it. It's a little more glamour. I get it. But when it comes to directing, I think it's just so important, and it makes the movie. And if you're going to have up to 10 noms, you should have at least 7 to 8 director noms, because that's just as important to the movie.
I actually really agree with that. Again, I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of like adding a bunch of different things to the Oscars. Like, I think when they added Best Animated, it was just so that they didn't have to give the Oscar to an animated movie.
I mean, well,
but
real quick, we're around there. Frozen 2 didn't get a nom, and Toy Story 4 did.
Toy Story 4 did, and we'll get into that again deeper into. I mean, just in case, you know what? It's a big thing people like to.
It was.
I'll tell you right now. How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, I Lost My Body, Klaus, Missing Link, Toy Story 4. So it's a Toy Story 4 and How to Train Your Dragon year, I think.
No, I think it's Missing Link.
Some people, I have heard Missing Link getting a little bit of
love. I'll be honest. It's not as hands down as like a Spider-Man to Spider-Verse was.
It's Toy Story 4.
Which is weird. I do think it's either going to be I Lost My Body or Missing Link.
I think it's Toy Story 4.
I think this is the year they take kind of a stance on a more creative aspect.
Maybe.
Because if it was going to be, it would have been Frozen 2.
But here's one of the nominations that didn't appear that I wanted to talk about. And I want to kind of bring it back full circle to how we brought this together. Robert De Niro, no love throughout the entire award season. And I'll be honest with you, I am both surprised, but if I'm critically speaking, it was very much just...
You read my mind. I loved De Niro. I think he did a great job as an ensemble.
Yeah.
Do I think he makes the movie? No. Not necessarily. I think his... And it's not just his fault. I don't think he was meant to. And if he was, I don't think that it came across that way. I do think Pesci and Pacino deserve the noms compared to him. Especially if we're talking about lead actor. Plus, you also got to think, like, he's entering a different pond. It's not like we're comparing those 3 for one award. We're comparing these 2 for one and this one for a bigger one. And if it came to carrying a movie, I'm like, there's probably 2 more actors I would throw in before you even. So, no, I would put Jamie Foxx before him, too. So, no, I'm okay with it. And I'm surprised that everyone was willing to accept, like, did he really deserve one of those 5? Probably not. You know, I love De Niro, and De Niro's he kills him in the movie.
Sandler deserves one over De Niro.
Sandler, that's the other one. Yeah. There's somebody too. Like, he does deserve it more. So I'm okay with it, and I'm surprised everyone was okay with it.
And
people usually are outraged by this.
The 2 directors that I do wish got a little bit of love too, Greta and Olivia. Olivia Wilde for Booksmart, and Greta Gerwig for Little Women.
I think Greta Gerwig is definitely the one where if you told me any day, just debate it, Greta Gerwig is an easy debate for me.
I agree.
I like Booksmart. I think it's fine. I don't think maybe Oscar nom fine, but I think Little Woman is, and obviously everything in Little Woman's getting nominated beside her. But then it comes down to, okay, who do you take out? just because you don't think it's his best movie, Quentin Tarantino is still a legend, and it's still a legendary movie. And yeah, maybe it's not The Godfather, but it's still one of the best movies of the year.
And you better not take Bong Joon Ho out for Parasite.
No, he's probably the favorite. And yeah. I guess Todd Phillips, because it is a lot of Joaquin. But again,
that's
you see behind the scenes, he did a lot for Joaquin. Yeah. So no, I cannot remove one, guys.
When in doubt, just remember.
But if I had to, it's Todd Phillips.
Argo won Best Picture. And Ben Affleck wasn't nominated for Best Director.
And he should have won.
And he won the Director's Guild Award.
Yep.
Which is the biggest award.
Well,
for
I mean,
directors.
Yeah, it goes to show you, like, all these other awards are nonsense half the time.
Yeah.
Because it's such a different voting. And the news came out today, like, they're like, well, it's 50% men and women, but also we don't require our voters to see every movie. So it is, we tell you every year, it's a popularity contest. Yeah. Like, you got to get good word of mouth. Like, the fact that Harriet got any noms is because it kind of had to. And certain people did see it, and certain movies didn't get as much love because of that. And yeah, is it suck that we're in an age where out of, what is it, like 300 new releases, only 34 are represented? Of course it sucks. Is it a flawed system? Yeah. What do we do about it? I mean, you can boycott it. I don't think that's going to help.
Or you can help spread the word of these great pieces of work.
Talk about it. Like, yeah, I love Peanut Butter Falcon. That was fun.
Honey
but,
Boy. Like, yeah. Spread these words. Like, get these things out there.
You know, it comes down to this, I think. You know, people always like the golden age of cinema. We're not in a golden age of cinema. We're in a golden age of at home entertainment.
Yeah,
so it's hard when you see, so like Adam Driver probably made like 3 Oscar performance movies this year on top of making a blockbuster, and he's only getting love for one, where it's like The Report got him some love.
Yeah, and
it's hard. Like, these people are working. There's a lot to it. There's Amazon. There's Hulu. There's Netflix. Like, Netflix has the most noms. 2 years ago, we were talking about they didn't want to include them.
I mean, we are fans of John Campion. Obviously, there's been a lot of news, and I talked about it a few episodes ago on the Good Brothers about movie news kind of going away.
That doesn't exist, not canon.
Yeah, but he talked about how, you know, 2 years ago, Netflix, it was a joke, remember, with the Forrest Whitaker movie, that they would never get to that level, and it just took 2 years. And now Netflix is one of the most legitimate contenders when it comes to Oscar season. And what I love about it is that it is one of our favorite seasons, Good Brother. We get to talk about it. It brings out the competitiveness in us. It gets to involve both the sports mentality into our pop culture world. So make sure you stay with us here on The Good Brothers as we break down all the news that are coming from the Academy Awards as we get close to the big day and who takes the Oscar home. Good Brother, big news when it comes to a new vampire that is going to hit the world, and that has an Academy Award winner himself playing said role. Jared Leto brings us Morbius. Sony, in association with Marvel, and they make it in big, bold letters, we get this Morbius trailer. And Good Brother.
Apparently, it's not a trailer. It's a sneak peek.
Well, it's a hell of a sneak peek.
I loved
that
it.
That was
and
a great
the tie-ins. One. I loved everything. I like that Jared Leto's been quiet because, you know, Jared Leto's shut up for a little bit, bro.
It
like,
was very.
We love you. Yeah, we get it. Your Joker didn't work out. Yeah. It wasn't all your fault. I happen to enjoy parts of your Joker, honestly. The movie sucked. But just be quiet and let us enjoy you as it be someone new. Be Morbius. Be Morbius for like 3 movies, and you're back on my good grace, bro.
Obviously, if you haven't seen the trailers, spoiler, because there are some stuff. They obviously show. No, it's Felicia.
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 Is that the old school 90s,
yeah,
right?
The 90s cartoon?
Felicia. That's where I learned about him, yeah.
I swear to God, if Jared Leto at one point doesn't go to the camera and go, Felicia, I boycott this
he's
entire
fun.
Series.
He's fun. He's an anti-hero.
But
everything's fun. Yeah, I like it.
Spoilers if you don't want to know anything going blind into this movie, but
you're
listening to
the wrong podcast.
But they put it in the first sneak peek. We see Michael MFing Keaton.
That's what Michael Keaton and like 6 other people deserve to add the MFer in the middle there.
What? Like Michael motherfucking Keaton.
Like Michael motherfucking Keaton.
So they're going all in on this Sinister Six.
Yeah.
They've gone all in.
Yeah, there's a big plan. Disney will buy Sony in the next 5 years, guys.
That is unbelievable.
Let's be honest.
So, I mean, we obviously, it's coming down the pipeline. We could gush over all we want, but Morbius, we want to
wait
see
for more of a trailer. Yeah. We love it. We love the tie-ins. Jared Leto, just keep being quiet and making cool stuff because you're one of my favorite actors, honestly, from Dallas Buyers Club, from Requiem of a Dream. He's fantastic. He's one of the best working actors. It is what it is. Stop trying to be Daniel Day-Lewis and just be Jared Leto, and I'm cool.
And That's gotten you pretty far, seeing as you have an Academy Award in the mantle.
Oscar. You played a AIDS-ridden homosexual transvestite.
And crushed it.
And crushed it and made us all fall in love with you and Matthew McConaughey fall in love with you.
So can we fall in love with you as a vampire? Good Brother, Crisis has finally ended, and in the midst of it, we had one of the most unexpected, one of the most well-kept secrets. Ezra Miller, Grant Gustin, The Flashes, together on the freaking CW.
How long was he in the scene? Was it like a one scene thing?
One scene, minute and a half. It was a
so
lot.
So whatever's online is what it is.
What you've seen the minute 30.
Shout out to Jay Washington. Called it Jay Washington, and I believe Coy Favreau called it a month ago. They guessed this. So I'm good call for them. Can you give me like a spoiler heavy breakdown? Where are we left in this universe now?
So spoiler heavy, and this is going to be the only time that we break down this crossover because it was a lot. And
it's a lot. I'm very interested. That is the thing they did great. They caught my attention because now I'm like, I kind of want to go see it.
So this is my basic review before spoilers of it. Loved a lot of the cameos. Loved a lot of scenes in it. This was the worst crossover they've ever done.
I bet.
This was the worst crossover they've done.
Nothing beats the first one. First one's
great. I still think the first one's great. I think Crisis on Earth X, when they're basically fighting the Nazis, was not just a great CW show. Mm-hmm. Like, it was Flash Season 2 level. Flash
great
Season 1
level.
It was great television, that crossover. But that being said, so all that, I'll give it a 67%. It's a C. It passed.
A C minus.
It passed.
Barely a C.
It'll get a degree, but like it's.
Okay,
let's
give it a nice 69.
It's a 69. Just yeah, 69.
Fun.
But basically, storyline wise, now we're doing the biggest issue with this entire story was that they made it that it was going to be about Barry Allen's death, and literally in the first two episodes they got rid of that. Like, no, we've been playing with. No, he was never in danger. So, it was really dumb. So now, as we've gone full circle, Oliver is dead.
Oliver died.
Stephen Amell is gone.
Is Arrow dead?
Arrow is gone. The show is going to continue as his daughter and her team, and it's going to be a bunch of like the side characters taking over the Arrow mantle.
Is that old enough daughter to do that?
It's a lot of time travel stuff that they're dealing with. So, Arrow, he died. And essentially what happened is he gave up his life to... No, it wasn't as sad as you would think because it's kind of – it's actually very anticlimactic. And this is where I'll break it down. So when the first time he dies twice in this crossover. So the first time he dies, there's these like wraiths from that look like they're coming from the Harry Potter world. They're like little Grim Reaper things that try killing him. So he kills a bunch of them, and they say he saves a billion people. So they try to go save his soul from purgatory. And when they're in purgatory, he gets found by the Spectre. And the Spectre tells him that it's his turn now to become the Spectre and save the universe, to save the multiverse. So Oliver, the Green Arrow, has now become the Spectre. And they end up having to go to the antimatter universe because, long story short, in an extremely long crossover, they find out that they have to go back to the start of time in the alternate universe where this all started off. And when they reset everything, Oliver made it where there's only Earth Prime and different X amount of Earths. So essentially, Arrow, the Arrowverse, Supergirl, Black Lightning, the Legends, and Flash are all on the same Earth now.
Which is good. That's what you wanted to do.
Because there's still different Earths. Like, did you see that little promo for Stargirl?
Yeah,
Power
I did,
Girl?
Actually, yeah.
So they have that. So at the very end, the cameo, they show the Teen Titans. They show Doom Patrol. They show Brandon Routh's Superman. And then they show that Stargirl trailer. And then we see what they're calling Earth Prime, and it's the superheroes that we love. And they're calling it the Age of Superheroes. And the very last scene is you see Oliver. They put a memorial for him. Barry pulls out a tarp, and it's the table. It's the Justice League table. And they all sit down, and it's Canary, Martian Manhunter, Flash, Batgirl, Supergirl, Superman. And they leave one chair open for Oliver. And they have his logo there. And the scene ends with all – and Black Lightning is one of Justice League, and they all sit there, and it's actually a really nice
obviously,
scene.
Yeah, I'll give them that. They do pay off when they need to pay off.
I will say this, though, too. The fourth episode in this crossover, so the first one when they came back from break, was filmed beautifully. And I'll show you after this broadcast, if you haven't seen it, it was filmed differently than the first one. I think it had to do with they had a higher budget for that episode because they brought Ezra Miller in there, and it felt very... That episode...
Cinematic.
The Crisis crossover didn't work for me necessarily when it comes to, like, an episodic thing. But that episode, episode 4 of this crossover, was actually really fun. It had to deal with the Speed Force and having to get them all together. It was actually a really nice little episode. But I'm gushing over it. I hated it. I loved it.
I like the part where he's like, your suit looks so comfy. See, this looks so heavy and metal and so safe.
And you know what's awesome about
those
two?
They're, like, admiring each other. She's like, I like yours because it's comfy. I like yours because it's, like, tactical.
They genuinely look like they're nice dudes, too.
Well, I mean, we always talked about it. We're like, those would be the guys we either want one on the show or one in the movies. We're like, the Flash has always been that character. Like, yeah, you can do whatever you want with Superman. We can have three Supermen. I don't care about that. But with Flash, you're always like, I wouldn't mind seeing Ezra Miller on the show, or I wouldn't mind seeing Barry Grant Gustin in the Justice League movie. And I think now you've proved, I think it's now you take it like this. So now you get into people like me who don't watch it. You're like, does this affect the universe? I think DC's doing a great job saying, like, they're hitting on all floors. Because I think Harley Quinn movie is going to be fantastic.
We'll find out.
I'm so excited. I think it's going to be one of the best movies they've done. They hit all their movies last year. Aquaman was great. Shazam was great. Like, everything they've put out has been really good. Harley Quinn anime is fantastic. Titans is fantastic. And this crossover did numbers. Doom Patrol's fantastic. Like, they're not missing on a lot of things. So you're like, they just got that Green Lantern Corps. It's going to be on HBO.
So
I saw they did the OLA for the Green Lantern.
So
universe.
I tweeted out the last minute and a half montage, which includes the Justice League table. That's what I'm saying. At being critical, didn't work. But man, there are moments in this crossover that were fan-freaking-tastic.
Yeah. Who's the leader of the Justice League? Is it Barry?
Probably Barry and Canary and Supergirl.
Okay.
And Batwoman.
Good for Canary, man. Yeah. She's
been forever since the first season of Green Arrow.
White Canary, right?
Yeah, White Canary. But Sarah Lance.
She's one of my favorite characters, though. Like, they do a really good job with the LGBTQ right there, too. Mm. Of, like, she plays straight, the gay, the bi, like... She's a great character. I just like her a lot. And Legends is fantastic.
And speaking of fantastic, good brother, Cheer, dominating Netflix.
Yeah, it's crazy seeing somewhere that I went to. And, you know, all these stories are like, you know, you just fill in. It's like a season of television. You just fill in, like, you know, here's this kid with troubles. Here's this kid with troubles. And I tell everyone, without Monica, I'd probably be in jail or dead. Like, she definitely saved life, but she does it with everyone. And, you know, the question I get the most, do all those people act like they're in real life? Yes, they do. Probably that's a more calm version. Is Jerry really like that? Yes, he's the greatest person on earth. Is Monica really that sweet of... Monica's a character, because you think about her, you're like, this Southern wealthy Christian woman has no business being so accepting of troublemakers, of out-of-towners, of these, you know, gay children, they're struggling... She has no business being as accepting, as real as she is, and that's truly who she is. She makes no sense. There is no one in this world just like her, because normal people you meet like that from where she's from are very unaccepting and very naive. And I love the quote she says, like, those are my kids and I will fight for them. And it gives me chills, because I'm like, my own story for her. When our grandma passed away, day of, she sees me crying. She's like, I'll fly you home today if you want me to fly you home. I'll drive you to the airport. I'll fly you home. She's like, don't even worry about it. I was like, no, I'd rather just be here and be with my teammates. And she's like, okay, then. And she is like that. When I popped my shoulder out in Nationals and I finished the routine, she's like, why didn't you just stop? I was like, I didn't know if we'd get a go again. I didn't want to let you down. That's the kind of authority. If she called me today, I would answer the phone on air. Like, she is one of my favorite people in this world. She is a second mother to me and to every kid that's gone through there. We talk once a month, if not more. I send every kid I have down there if I can. It is one of the best programs in the world. Yes, it is one of the most successful cheer programs, like, bar none. But that woman changes lives. She changes the way you look at things and the way you approach things. And she's just an angel. And every kid is blessed to be a part of her life. And she makes you feel just as blessed to have you in her life. And the show is fantastic. The production's great. Directing's great. Same people as Last Chance U. It's all over the place. It's on BuzzFeed. It's in Women's Health. It's everywhere. They're going to get another season. They're doing the rounds now. Like, the alumni page gets the inside depth. Like, we knew when this was filming. I told you about this a long time ago. Yeah. And I was like, well, look at them film this and look at them film this. And they were asking about titles. Like, I remember when they texted a group saying, from the alumni, like, what do you think the title should be? And it's just crazy to see somewhere going, like, I'll be honest. You know, we were talking with the alumni page in our groups. And it's funny. I've gotten 50 requests on Facebook from random people across the world.
That's funny.
I'm some random alumni from the 2013-14 national championship team. And I've gotten 50 requests.
That's funny.
And we asked, we're like, is everyone getting this? We're like, yeah, like across the world from Germany, Costa Rica, Argentina, Mexico, Canada. I get almost at least 15 a day since this show came out just because I went to Navarro.
Now, you can watch the entire thing right now on Netflix?
On Netflix, it's one of the hottest things. Netflix has put out a quote. E has put out a quote. Chrissy Teigen, John Legend, like, it's big. It's the next big thing. And like, not in a sense of you and, you know, Stranger Things, but definitely in a sense of, I kind of want to go on the other tier of like The Ranch and Grace and Frankie, where it's like, no, like people are talking about this and it's very popular. It's doing great numbers and I can't wait for them to get another season.
And speaking of another season, good brother, how crazy has the freaking NFL playoffs been, man?
Yeah, Mikey, it seems like you don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what we're talking about. Nobody knows what we're talking about.
I mean, it's kind of weird because, like, now that you're in hindsight, you're like, we should have thought Derrick Henry was that. I mean, he is that guy. Yeah.
If there is one guy who's going to do that, it's that guy. Like, he's.
Am I shocked that Lamar Jackson didn't do more? Yeah. I guess Baltimore is the only thing that really shocked me.
Yeah.
Because that Green Bay game could have gone either way.
Well, I thought it was going to be Seattle, Baltimore in the Super Bowl. And I like it felt at times that I was very close to that. I thought it was
Baltimore, San Francisco. So yeah. My pick right now is going to be San Francisco and Kansas City.
Okay.
Would be my pick now. My deepest thing is probably going to end up being Green Bay versus Tennessee.
I feel like. And this isn't my official pick. I'll be doing that later on in Sports.
It's probably going to be wrong because no one's going to guess this right.
I think it's the Don't Mess With My Discounts Bowl, and it's going to be Mahomes versus Rodgers.
I could see it.
In the State Farm Super Bowl.
You think Mahomes gets a Super Bowl finally, or Rodgers gets another one?
I feel
like, because it came out of nowhere, Green Bay is going to win the Super Bowl. Super Bowl.
But here's the thing, though.
We should have been there.
My biggest issue has always been, they're a soft 13-3 team, right? But here's the thing. You may be a quote-unquote soft 13-3 team, but when you get a first-round bye and a home game in the playoffs, all you need to do is win one road game.
Cold in Lambeau, guys. No shit, Seattle had trouble.
And here's the thing. With 2 minutes left, do you trust anybody more than Aaron Rodgers to get the ball?
Where's the Super Bowl at?
Miami.
Okay, so let's. Yeah, no, it's hard, man, because that home field advantage is a bitch, especially when you're playing at Lambeau Field.
But they'll be playing in San Francisco or Santa Monica, I believe.
It's right. That's even better for Aaron Rodgers.
What's his home? That's where he's from. That's he grew up watching the 49ers.
Like, I hate to say it because deep down I'm like, that should have been the Bears. Yeah. It should have been. That should have been our 13-3. That should have been our Super Bowl. Khalil Mack should be the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, Deshaun should be wearing four for the Bears, too. Or
Mahomes or anyone else. Yeah. Not Trubisky, but not your boy, but, you know.
Yeah, my boy?
That's your boy.
Yeah, though. When I wanted to, I've been carrying water for Deshaun Watson since he took down Alabama.
I love Deshaun Watson so much.
But it's been a great playoffs.
That game, LSU, speaking of football, LSU is just, I knew LSU was going to win.
I picked Clemson to win.
But. No, I knew
I had it 45-42.
LSU was just so dominant. Yeah, like, Burrow. And then you look at the numbers of like the teams they beat, how much they beat them by. You're like, no, they were dominating all season. Like, it was obnoxious. I think Ohio State would have gave them a better run just style-wise.
Well, I don't know.
I think style-wise that game got away from them. I think that came down to coaching also. And I think it was kind of ridiculous that they lost their best player. I thought that game was a little ridiculous, the Ohio State-Clemson game. Because I thought that interference call and there was a lot of mishap, and I think the way the first quarter went, had that maintained and fine, whatever, LSU was going to win no matter what. You were playing to go get beat by LSU, I think. But yeah, football, woo!
Yeah, and then you could stay here on the network where we'll be breaking down our picks for the AFC and NFC Championship game, and we will finally have our matchup for the Super Bowl.
Bum, 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 bum.
Finally, good brother, before we head out of here, some sad news in the wrestling world. We lost Rocky Johnson, WWE Hall of Famer at the age of 75. For all the younger audience, you may know him as The Rock's father. Just sad. Another elderly, old wrestler.
Sad, it's sad because he wasn't in, like, not bad grace, not necessarily good grace with the company. I think he was one of those legends where he kind of moved on from it. And he's a legend nonetheless. He was, I love his old stuff with Tony Atlas. I like how just they were just big, beefy men, just strong.
Yeah. Power lifters.
I loved it. I loved them. Like, that's, you know, that's all my style of wrestling. I love it. That's sad. You know, it sucks for The Rock. And, you know, we're still kind of waiting for statements from that. WWE did, and NXT did. I think you can definitely tell someone who's so social media savvy as The Rock, it's kind of crazy that we look to him to be like, well, what is he going to put out there?
It's so funny. Like, and
it's crazy that you're like waiting for it. You're like, what's his statement? And then you realize moments like this, like how human he really is.
That's his dad.
Like, he's our superhero. Yeah. He's like our unofficial president, where you're like, well, what do we do, Rock?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, your dad died. What do we do, Rock? And I think we'll get a statement obviously sooner than later, but it's so real now, because you're like, this is probably the quietest he's ever been on social media. And you're like, because that's a son hurting. And obviously he's gone on record where they didn't have the best relationship. No. He was hard on him. You know, he was really
a wrestler.
He's closer to his mom. Exactly. He was a wrestler. Like, even Cody and Dusty, like, you know, you got to realize, like,
especially that era.
To make the, exactly. They were always gone. They were always living very Wild West lifestyles. Yep. He's very close to his mother, and he has his own. Like, I get it. It's still his father. It's still someone he respected and loved. And he's hurting, obviously. So, like, love to all of them and to that whole family and to wrestling fans, because you've lost another legend and it sucks.
And you know it impacts somebody who means so much to the wrestling world.
It's a trickle-down effect, yeah.
So I think that more than anything, we were going to talk a little bit about wrestling, but the show's running a little bit
long. Wrestling's pretty good right now.
Wrestling's actually pretty good.
It's fine.
And I think
both sides.
We'll talk, and I know a lot of people like us when we talk wrestling stuff, but because of the Oscar nominations,
we'll do it next week for Royal Rumble.
For Royal Rumble, we'll break down everything that is AEW, WWE, and NXT.
Let's just say wrestling is in a positive direction right now. Both sides of the thing. Congrats to AEW on a new contract and a new show to 2023.
Great for them. Fantastic.
WWE's getting the highest ratings. We'll keep it super positive. They're both doing fantastic work right now.
And we send the positivity also to The Rock, his family, and for anybody who's affected, whenever anybody's lost, you know, it always sucks. And if it brings back memories.
That's someone's role model. Well, that's someone's idol.
Well, and anything else, if it brings up memories for them, for their parents passing. So whenever there's a death,
it sucks. It's like, there is no Titus. There is none of these Mark Henrys without the Rocky Johnsons and Tony Atlases.
Finally, good brother, though, we'll end on a good note. Happy birthday to Super Mercado brother, Marcos Mercado.
Oh,
he is turning 26 this year, 27. He's turning 47 years old this
27
year.
27 years old. Well, that's how old I am.
That's how old
it?
you are.
I thought you were Mark. I thought you got the show.
Michael. Oh, no, yeah, no, Marcos. Oh. Marcos didn't get the show.
Striking resemblance.
Yeah, very striking
resemblance. Put glasses on. So, let me see.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, little
Super
guy.
Super Mercado brother.
We'll see you at dinner. Dinner's on you.
That'll do it for us on this episode of The Good Brothers, though. Good brother, any final words?
Final words.
It's very late here in the beautiful city of Chicago as we're recording
this. It's cold, and it's only getting colder. It's not beautiful.
It is freaking horrible.
We got tricked with a nice Christmas.
We don't care. Don't follow us on social media. Yell at us on the internet.
Me.
Don't do it. Shout out to the New Day for The Good Brothers.
I'm
Alex Mercado.
Yeek.
I'm Mike Mercado. We'll see you in the next episode of The Good Brothers here on the Mercado
Airwaves Network.
Thanks for joining us here on The Good Brothers, here on Mercado Airwaves.
Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at MikeMedia and on Instagram at MikeMercadoMedia. You can follow the good brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Mancha is on all social media platforms at TypingWhenTipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves, our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod, our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More, and of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network, and of course, you can support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win contests, best prizes by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it wherever you get your favorite podcast to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the good brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. We wish you a happy, healthy holiday season and an awesome new year. Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at MikeMMedia and on Instagram at MikeMercadoMedia. You can follow the good brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Mancha is on all social media platforms at TypingWhenTipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves, our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod, our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More, and of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network, and of course, you can support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win contests, prizes by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it wherever you get your favorite podcast to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the good brother Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. We wish you a happy, healthy holiday season and an awesome new year.